Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
2017. And obviously that didn't take place.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks so much for listening on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106 if you would like to weigh in on anything. So to come on the program, call to Steve Flowers, joins us in about a half hour. We also got PSC Commissioner Jeremy Oden running for re-election. I made that announcement yesterday, and we'll wrap it all up with State Senator Arthur Orr. So please make sure you stay tuned for that. Very pleased to bring on my next guest right now. He was formerly the governor of Alabama. Now he is serving in private practice in the field of dermatology. Former Governor Robert Bentley on the line with us. Governor, good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing fine.
Governor, I want to get you on here and get your thoughts on really, the scuttlebutt right now is getting Alabama's low vaccination rates up. Governor Ivey has an op-ed in the Washington Post today. But from a public policy perception, when you look at that, is there any more, do you think, that the state of Alabama ought to be doing to get people more motivated or more willing, less reluctant, to get this vaccination?
Well, it's very complicated, and I understand that. And I'm not trying to tell somebody else how I would do things always, but I do have ideas on I would handle it. I wouldn't blame the unvaccinated because you can't pit one side against the other. It's not a blame situation. I deal with patients who have to make decisions on whether or not they want a cancer removed or this or that, and they have to make their decision. But you just have to give them good advice, and they have to trust whoever gives the advice. Now, you can't get this advice from Fox News or CNN or places like that. You really need to listen to people who know what they're talking about, their physician primarily. And I just think that we need leadership on this issue. This is a state issue. It's not a federal issue. If I were governor, I'd be out all over the state. I would set up some task forces. On a state level, I would do that, but I would work with the locals also, especially the local doctors and local nursing association, local doctors association, and the hospitals. But I would also work with local officials, and some of the most important ones are county commissioners and mayors and our elected officials out there. So I would work with them. I would even use the state health department, but I would be in charge of it, not the health department. And then also, I would even use my National Guard if I needed to. But what I would try to do for the people is get their trust. And I wanted to give them good advice, scientific advice on whether or not these things are safe or not. When you read Facebook or if you watch all the news, you really don't get the truth because these people are not interested in the truth. They're interested in ratings. And so you need somebody that they trust, and that's what I would try to do as governor. I'd be out all over the state trying to talk with people, especially in areas that we know that there's a spike in this Delta virus.
Well, yeah, and I think, though, generally people in our state are skeptical of government. But I also I question the wisdom of, that we need some kind of a role model or something like that to encourage people to do something. I don't know. In some ways, it's psychological. I think the more the government tells you to do something, the more reluctant or the more that the red flags are going to come up. So I don't know how you correct that, but there's something here that makes people. And I don't know if it's necessarily just cable news or whatever, but just in general, people are like, I don't know, I want to wait this out, or is it just a matter of maybe getting past that experimental phase?
Well, I agree with you about not trusting the government. I think that's exactly right. They don't trust the government, but they hear so many different stories out there, and I will have to say that Facebook has caused a lot of problems and things like this. The the media has and social media has. So people really don't know what to expect. They don't know what to listen to. They don't know what to believe. I do think that you have to have someone who is leading the state, who they trust, who really cares about them as human beings and cares about their health. I think you really need somebody like that. Now, I don't think you can do it on a federal level. I don't think you can do it over the news media, by the news media. I think you work with locals and you just try to work with the people of the state. You can't convince everybody, but you just have to try to do the best you can.
How do you deal with the media? The media, whatever you think of the media, if they're agenda-driven or biased or whatever, they are a component in this discussion, but they seem to be very, almost hyper-aggressive on this topic. Whether you like them or not, they're still, I think, maybe a component in this.
Well, they can be. And honestly, I do see some out there who have been, somewhat have used it as a political thing. They have kind of backed off a little, and now they're saying that, that they encourage people to get the vaccination. That's the only weapon we have right now. I mean, truly, when you're in a war with an unseen enemy like this virus, the only thing that we have are the vaccines. And I do see some people who seem to be on one side or the other being a little more reasonable about it and trying to encourage people. So I think that's honestly all you can do. I don't believe in forcing people to do things. I just believe that you give them the facts. And honestly, when they see somebody around them that dies, they want a vaccine. And a member of their family dies. Or if they get the virus themselves, they'll say, I wish I'd taken the vaccine. Now, some people, they don't have a lot of problems with it, especially young people. But some of these older people have, and many have died.
Well, and speaking as a former young person here, I get it. when you're young, you think you're bulletproof. This stuff isn't going to get to me. I can tough it out if I do get it. Why am I going to waste any time going out and get this vaccination? That seems to be where you need to make up the most ground, the younger. And I don't even know that we need to focus on it. Did you need to inject people with a vaccine if they don't, if they're not necessarily threatened by it? But for the sake of this discussion, get those numbers up. You're going to have to get younger people to buy more into this. How do you do that?
Well, and I agree with that. I think you are. I think that young people may not get sick, but they can certainly spread the virus. And, I think you approach it that way. But I just think it's going to take, why is Alabama the lowest state in the country? I just think we need to continue to have some leadership and not force people, but to really care about the people and keep people from getting sick. I mean, as a physician, that's my job. And we can't play the blame game. If Alabama ever loses, and hopefully that's not going to happen, the offense is not going to blame the defense, the defense is not going to blame the offense. We can't split up as Alabamians. You just can't blame them, each other. And so I think that's not the best approach.
You think it's been just overly politicized, that whether it was, and we're told it's not political, but the reality is that if you're buying into this, you have the Democrat or the blue stripe. And if you're not and you're reluctant to do it or you're resisting it, then you're wearing the red team's jersey, and then that's a component of this as well. But I don't know how you overcome that. It's just been politicized by forces beyond our control.
Well, there's a lot of division in this country right now, and unfortunately, the vaccine has been right in the midst of it. Now, as Republicans, what we ought to say is we're excited about what Trump did with that warp speed thing. I mean, this is fantastic. I mean, he needs to get all the credit for this. And so we need to really give him credit for what he did. And and really not let the Democrats, take advantage of that. So I think it is political. A lot of it is political. But I do think that we need to give credit where credit's due, and that's to President Trump.
Joined by former Alabama Governor Robert Bentley here on the program. Governor, we got just a few minutes here remaining, but the prison saga continues on and on and on, and here we are today on July 27th, 2021, and this issue is still outstanding. Now, if you tried to address it a couple of times during your term, do you think if we had gotten there today, we would be dealing with the Department of Justice as we are?
Well, we still might have been dealing with them in some means, but I think this would have solved a lot of our problems. However, building prisons is not necessarily the total solution to our recidivism and all the problems that we have, but it's part of the problem because, you know, in July we had 10 people killed in our prisons in the state. And if anybody has ever visited a prison, they'll know the overcrowding and what goes on in these places. We did put forth a plan that would have saved the state a tremendous amount of money compared to what has been talked about now. We were going to build 4 prisons, and those prisons were going to be just alike. We were going to put them in areas where prisons existed at the present time because that's where people work. Our workers are already there. Our land is already there. So it was going to 4 prisons. Just a light was going to cost $800 million. And we were going to pay for that as a bond issue because we were going to put these things out for bid. And people that would bid on them and won the bid and build them, they were actually going to partially pay for that. And even if they did not pay for it totally, we were going to pay our part of it with a bond issue. And it would have cost approximately $800 million at that time. I think the last thing I've seen from the administration now has been $3.2 billion. Now, that's exorbitant. We were going to have 4 new prisons for $800 million, and we were going to actually pay our part through the savings of not having to keep up the old buildings. So that was $50 million, and that would have paid for the bond issue. And so I just think the legislature ought to look at that again. They asked me in 2017, they said, Governor, we love that plan and we want to be a part of this. And so can we take that over as our number one issue? I said, absolutely. Well, I gave it to them. They didn't carry through with it, but hopefully they're going to look at it now. I'm hoping they will.
I mean, the hang up, it always gets down to this when we talk about it. It seems the locations, for whatever reason, your predecessor, George Wallace, made, when the last time the state was in trouble with the DOJ, he made it a jobs program. And that's why you have all these facilities scattered around the state. Well, now those local economies and local infrastructures relying upon those facilities. And that seems to be the hurdle now is getting it, you know, the purpose is corrections, not economic development or whatever it might be. And it's getting that narrative shifted back to that seems to be the hang up.
Well, and we recognized that in 2016 and 2017, and we did work with the locals who have prisons in their area. These 4 prisons that we were going to talk about, and in fact, we're also going to build a female prison. And renovate something new for the female prisoners. But this was not going to take care of all the prisoners. What it was going to do is going to have parts of the prisons to be for rehabilitation and training and things like this, because when people get out, they've got to try to find a job or they're going to be back in prison. And so the few that were still going to be left, we were going to kind of keep smaller areas in the state where people depend on those things. But we were going to put the 4 prisons primarily where the large prisons are right now. So that wouldn't have changed those areas particularly.
Well, Governor, we're up against a break, but you've been very, very kind with your time this morning, and let's talk again real soon.
Jeff, I appreciate it. And I want to encourage people to please get vaccinated, those that are not vaccinated. Please look at it and look at real science on it. Don't listen to Dr. Fauci and don't listen to some of these other people.
Governor, you've been very kind. Go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and I enjoyed being on with you. Yep.
Thank you. That was former Alabama Governor Robert Bentley on the line. We got to get a break here. We will be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.